Thank you for joining us today. We are Inspiring Better Business, helping you to start, grow, and fix your business. Today, we are examining the law of generosity. It seems like each person that you meet has a different opinion on every aspect of giving money. There are many teachings on how much you should give, and who should you give to, and who should you not give money to. Well, let's set all that aside and let's go to the Bible and see what it has to say about giving and generosity. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24 through 26 in the NIV version, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. People curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. And yet another scripture. Oh, these are so powerful. This is in Psalms chapter 37, verse 25 and 26. I have quoted this verse many times in my life. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be a blessing. Oh, these are great promises, and the books of Psalms and Proverbs are just so full of these kinds of lessons and teachings. It's so powerful hearing the Word of God. It clearly states that everyone should be generous, and that generous people will prosper and be blessed. But the big question that I had for years was, should I give away everything to every relative, every neighbor and friend, everyone that asks for money? How can I find a good balance between giving away too much and not giving a single thing away to anyone? Mama Luma had three boys that were struggling with the same questions. She has some extremely wise instructions. I think all of us can learn something from this story. Let's hear the story. Think how it might apply in our lives. "Hallelujah! I'm rich!" exclaimed Andrew as he started dancing toward his pile of homework to take to school. "Stop hopping around like a wounded chicken and listen," Mama Luma commanded as she placed a stack of coins in his hands. "Remember, this is your money to buy lunch for the whole week," she instructed as she turned and handed her other three sons an identical amount of money. Holding up her finger, Mama Luma continued instructing, "You will have enough to get lunch all week, plus a little extra. Use it wisely." To her, this was much more than her children having a little money for lunch. It would reveal how they would manage their resources in their future, in their lives as adults. Andrew, Ezekiel, Micah, and Joseph all bolted through the door and shouted over their shoulder, "Love you, Mom! Thank you!" She loved her boys and was determined to use the next few weeks to get a clear picture of their money mindset. She had a plan. In the coming days, she would listen carefully to each one of them speak about their day. She would watch how much they ate at dinner and ask their friends and teachers for their observations as well. After a month of an intentional observation, she had compiled her thoughts and decided to write each one a note. She was their mother, so of course, she would give her advice whether they liked it or not. She started first with her oldest son, Andrew. "Andrew, I'm happy to see that you have had the self-control to not spend all your money right away. But I must caution you, it seems that you are being ruled by money, ruled by the fear that you will run out of money. I know that most days you have not been buying lunch. Instead, you have been saving your money. But this should not be called saving. Instead, it should be really called hoarding. Your fear is driving you. And most days, you are hardly eating anything. Your teachers are saying that you can't focus at the end of the day and that your grades are suffering. Most days, I see you coming home very tired. And at dinner, you sneak extra scoops of food when you think I'm not looking. Though you may not see it now, this mindset is beginning to have a hold on you. If you continue in this manner, its impact will reach far into your future. What about that day when I sent you with birthday celebration candy for your teacher and the class and gave you clear instructions to share it? You kept more than your share and you ate them right away like you were afraid you would never ever have any candy again. I know there were multiple times where others were in need, and you would never, ever give nor lend your money to them. I need you to know and believe that I have given you the right amount for each period of time. The money is not really your money. Just like the money that I earn, it's not really my money either. It's God's money. He has given us the ability to convert the currency of heaven, that's time, health, knowledge, and many other things, into the currency of earth, which we call money. Our responsibility in life is to be a wise manager of these resources, of whatever amount that we have. Above all, we must trust that when we meet overwhelming problems in life, our good God will provide. Sometimes that provision might look like the opportunity to work and earn extra money, and sometimes it might be a miraculous gift. Next week, use the money I give you to take care of yourself, buy a lunch for each day, use the little extra that I give you to do two things. Save it to start a little business selling nuts at the school, and number two, to have a little surplus for when you or others have an emergency or in a need. When you hold on to something extremely tight, so tight that you are squeezing it, what happens? You choke it. You kill it. Money is no different. Your fear is killing your opportunity to plant seeds of generosity and of future revenue streams. Remember, I have given you enough to meet your needs in this season. After finishing Andrew's letter, Mama Luna began on Ezekiel's letter. It said this, "Ezekiel, I'm so happy to see and hear from others how generous you have been with your money, but you have fallen into an extreme. I have heard that if anyone asks you for lunch money, that you will give it to them without even thinking. Halfway through the week, you have given away all your money. Then most weeks you end up begging your brothers to give you some of theirs and expecting them to fill your empty pockets with their money. But how could they do that? Your pockets have holes, and as soon as money falls into them, it falls out on the ground. I did not give you lunch money so that you could try to be the savior of all your hungry fellow students. And now some students are even expecting you to hand over your lunch money every day. Do not misunderstand me. It is good to give. It is good to even go hungry occasionally so that others may eat. But even Jesus had to eat meals. He had to eat to have the strength to finish his mission. You cannot constantly be giving everything away. Every wise farmer must reserve some of his seed to plant in the next season. Learn to say no when you feel pulled into an unhealthy extreme. Remember, I am responsible for you. I want you to have the strength to finish your current mission, your schooling, with excellence. I am not responsible, nor are you, for every one of your classmates. Next week, wisely manage the money that I give you." It was tough to be so direct with Ezekiel. She knew that it would be prior to going into this learning experience, but it was still hard. Mindset shifts are tough for everyone to make, especially when the surrounding environment reinforces the old mindset that he had. Mama Luna had two more letters left. It was tough, but she continued. "Micah, I am proud that you have been managing your spending and giving well. I know that you have been using the money as I intended it. You have used your money to buy lunches when you needed and have been using the extra to occasionally give it to your brothers and to others when they needed help. You have got the actions correct, but what about your heart? You give, but it's never a gift. Others think that they are receiving a gift from you, but in your heart, it's merely a loan. You gave Ezekiel money for lunch one day, and then the next week expected him to pay your bus fare, even though it cost much more than your lunch. You reminded him that he owed it to you. And when someone asks you for help, and you reply in a loud voice saying, 'Sure, I will be happy to give you money,' you are actually lying to them and lacing your gift with poison. You are neither giving nor are you helping them. In your heart, you are wanting applause and loyalty from others. Instead of quietly giving a gift, you are loudly buying public admiration. And what happens when that person that you gave a gift to never gives you one in return? you get bitter and you resent them and you have poisoned yourself. Remember this important lesson. Do not give in order to get. Manage your money wisely, give wisely, and walk in peace, knowing that God sees and will reward you for the good that you do. Last was Joseph, her youngest. Joseph, I'm so proud of you. You made some poor choices in the first few weeks, and that's okay. I never expected you to be perfect, but hoped that you would learn from your good and bad choices and manage your resources wisely into the future. You have learned from your brother's experiences, and you have avoided the extremes. Your teachers tell me that you still have energy at the end of the day to be diligent at school. Right now, school is your job, so this is very important. On more than one occasion, some of our neighbors have told me that you gave some money when their kids were in need. I even heard that one time you said no to one classmate. Given the details to that situation, it was the right thing to do, and I am so very proud of you not being led by emotions. Many times it's easier to give without thinking, and it feels so good to hear, "Thank you," and to be someone's savior. But this is not always the best for that person's development in their future. Sometime this year, I am sure that you will give when you should not have, and not give when you should have. Our goal is not perfection. My son, our goal is to walk in the future with open hands, knowing that any money we carry is actually a gift from God that we get to manage. Oh, it's so exciting. Can you identify with Andrew, Ezekiel, or Micah in the story you just heard? There is a lot we can learn from this story, and we'll go deeper into this in the next few weeks. There's a question for you. When your parents were raising you, which of the four mindsets in this lesson did your parents have? Do you want to carry this mindset with you for the rest of your life? And secondly, are you transferring your mindset of generosity to the next generation around you? Ask yourself, what will you do to make changes to your generosity mindset? Until we meet again, your homework is to examine what your current view is on the subject of generosity. Observe your actions. Ask a close family member or a friend for their observations about your generosity or lack of generosity, and take note of it. Don't miss the next lesson so that we can learn what proper generosity looks like. Until then, remember to use what you have, where you are, to start, grow, and fix your business today. Thank you for being a part of Inspiring Better Business.